So we're talking this morning about who am I and who are you, or who I am and who you are. And my book for the month is Stephanie Dowrick's new book, Seeking the Sacred. She will be with us on Thursday night, June 16th, for a book signing and workshop. Her writing is absolutely wonderful. Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love is one of her other books, and I would just sit down with you and we would read every single word together, because it is such a wonderful book. I think it is, as much as I love Debbie Ford, as much as I love Edwin Gaines, I think this book is the most wonderful book I have ever written, followed closely by her new book, Seeking the Sacred. Did I say wrote it? Sorry, the most wonderful book I ever read. Thank you. Freudian slip there somewhere, interesting. Anyway, Thursday night, June 16th, and I will remind you several times between now and then, because it's really gonna be a wonderful event and I invite you to be with me for that. The book is not out for sale yet, so we don't have them yet. It will be truly hot off the presses when we get it, but I have a pre-read copy, which is why I'm able to use that for our book for the month, but it's really wonderful. And so I'll be sharing some quotes from it this morning as well as, and throughout the month, as well as some additional reflections. I want to say early last year, we used A Complaint-Free World as our book for the month. And if you remember the concept of that, it is that what we focus on expands, and what we talk about becomes our experience. And even though we're complaining about something that we didn't like and didn't want to happen, every time we dwell on it and give more energy to it, it continues to be our experience. And with A Complaint-Free World, there was, you might remember, the purple, I don't know what that material is, but the purple bracelet, like the Lance Armstrong Livestrong bracelets, we had the purple bracelet that said A Complaint-Free World, and the concept was you wore it on your left wrist, and every time you found yourself starting to complain, you would recognize it, love yourself, not thwack yourself with it, but just lovingly recognize it and move it to the other arm, the other wrist. And we had a big supply, so for those of us who wore out the bracelets, moving them from one wrist to another, that was okay, because you could always get another one and another one and so on. But the concept being, for that book, what do we talk about? And what do we complain about? And of course, our presumably, we're having the thought before we form the words and it comes out of our mouth. But this morning we're going to talk about before it comes out of our mouths. Those of us in this teaching that have been in this teaching for a while, we get that concept. And we're normally pretty positive. You know, there might be a little bit of a, there might be a tweak when the gas was over 4 1/4 a gallon. And there might be a tweak when somebody of the other political affiliation is on the television, or a slight tweak when you've got a family gathering with people that just know where your buttons are and how to push them. But we're pretty good most of the rest of the time. But what about our thoughts? And what about our feelings and our beliefs about ourselves and other people? So that's where I'm going this morning. One of Stephanie's other really wonderful books is entitled Intimacy and Solitude. And she talks about our self and myself and the importance of my relationship with myself, with a lowercase s as well as with an uppercase s. And our inner self we recognize as spirit or the universe or the God presence. The lowercase s is our personalization of our relationship with God, but also how we feel and how we believe and how we treat ourselves. And she says, in all our relationships, we start with our own self. How we feel about our own self, how well or little we know our own self, whether we feel alive inside, largely determine the quality of the time we spend alone, as well as the quality of the relationships we have with other people. This is even more marked when those relationships are close enough or are self-revealing enough to be called intimate. And I would submit that we have a relationship not only with our dear ones, not only with our families, not only with people in the community that we know and our friends, but we have a relationship with our money. We have a relationship with our bodies, because we know our bodies, this is what propels me across, the truth of me across the room, but this is not the truth of who I am. But I have a relationship with it. And so these relationships in the experience of being human give us the opportunity and look and see how we feel about those and how we feel about ourselves. The word sacred is interesting, and Seeking the Sacred, it's her book, and so I can't retitle it for her, but the truth is, seeking, and we know when we're looking for our connection with spirit, it's not a long trip. Sometimes we get caught up in the world, and we feel disconnected, and we feel that we need to go pack a bag and get on a plane to go find enlightenment or to find the presence of God. And we know the truth is, all we need to do is not give up, but give in. Because there's no place where we can go where God is not, because the presence resides within us. That sometimes we feel like it's a long trip. So the truth is, seeking the sacred, all we need to do is have that experience of giving in and reminding ourselves that the sacred is everywhere we are. Because the sacred is that presence, that power, that experience of spirit. Sometimes we need to look for it. It's not always, even though it's obvious if we look for it, sometimes it's not obvious in some of those relationships that we talked about earlier. In the book, she says, touching the sacred within and through our everyday experiences, we come to a new sense of who and what we are. I see the value of your existence, and I see myself with new gratitude and respect. The sacred is source as well as inspiration for profound inner transformation, for waking up. It is an opening of the heart and a training of the mind. It identifies holiness and brings it in. The sacred is the source of being for many and the meaning of life for many more. And the seeking of the sacred reveals our essential interdependence. It is undoubtedly about the ways we relate to one another. It embraces the truth and fascination of our differences, and welcomes and emphasizes the yearnings that we share. So the first question is, who am I? Many of you remember the story, the reason that we are Joyful Living Church is because we had a gathering at my house 3 years or so ago. It was the most amazing experience because it was a gathering about fun events. Well, fun events, talking about fun events, that puts a smile on your face because that's fun. So, and we had wonderful people, and some of you in this room were in the room at the time, and we were talking about everything, and it was really noisy. And I was there just minding my own business. And if you've ever had the experience of spirit speaking to you, it was not a gentle tap on the shoulder. It was a, yo, Jerry. And the still small voice said, it's time now. You are Joyful Living Church. And those of you in the room that were with me that night, remember, we stopped the conversation and I said, guys, here we go. And then I brought it to you all in the congregation and it was totally embraced. And so that's why we are Joyful Living Church. But the point of that story is, Deepak Chopra's book, Power, Freedom, and Grace, talks about joy as a state of being an experience within us that does not change, rather as compared to happiness. And he gives the, I'm not sure if he gives a comparison in the book, but go with me on this. A new car is happiness. Chocolate cake, or whatever your favorite dessert in all the world is happiness. Our time together on Sunday mornings is happiness. But all of those experiences ultimately end. If we base our happiness on a material thing, what happens when the ashtray in the new car is full of gum wrappers? And the new car smell is gone, and the chocolate cake is eaten up, and after a while, everybody goes home. Joy is the underlying experience of knowing our oneness with Spirit. And in this book, I love this book, Power, Freedom, and Grace, Chopra says, the essential you, your real essence, is a field of awareness that interacts with its own self and then becomes both mind and body. In other words, you are consciousness or spirit, which then conceives, constructs, governs, and becomes the mind and the body. So if I am consciousness, if I am spirit and I am creating my experience, that means whatever it is that I've created, I can create something else. I'm not stuck, which is really good news if you think about it. That is really good news. So in the book, Seeking the Sacred, Stephanie Dowrick talks about our stories. We've talked about that, and you remember the story of the story, if you will, the story of the woman in the lake. And you've heard this before, but go with me on this. The woman in the lake, and she's holding a stone or a rock. I'm not sure that I know the difference between a stone and a rock. If you know the difference between a stone and a rock, see me afterwards. But anyway, she's holding this very large, heavy object in the middle of the lake. And she's drowning. And her friends on the shore say, drop the rock. And she says, but I can't. And they say, but you're drowning, drop the rock. And she says, I can't. And they say, drop the rock. But by then it's too late because she's gone under because she couldn't drop the rock. That story, and it may be an experience that we've had, or a belief that we have, or a belief that's passed down to us from generation to generation, can keep us in the lake and keep us weighed down in the lake because we equate that story that doesn't serve us and never has, that was somebody else's truth, with the truth of who we are. And it may be, but it may not be. And so there's no better day than today to look at some of those relationships that we have and see what the stories are that are keeping us weighted down in the lake and release them. There's another white sheet in your bulletin this morning about that talks about some of the areas of our relationships that I'm going to address this morning, and I invite you to just be aware of this and be aware of what comes up for you as we're talking about this. In Edwin Gaines's book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, one of her laws has to do with determining our purpose. And she says, and I love this, she says, my life means what I say it means. And the truth is that your life means what you say it means. And say not only verbally, but also say in our thoughts and in our beliefs and in our feelings and in our actions. So we're going to look at some of these areas, and I just invite you to be aware, and please do feel free to make notes if you'd like on this, on the handout. So what do I say, think, feel, believe about my basic value? Course in Miracles says God Himself would be incomplete without you. If there are no accidents, if this is an orderly universe and everything is exactly as it should be where it needs to be because there's a purpose for everything under, I think that's from the Bible. There's a purpose for everything under heaven. There is a purpose for everything and everyone under heaven. Everyone is exactly where they should be doing what they need to do in order to experience what they need to experience. But if you come from traditional religion, there may be that old belief that somehow we are sinful, how somehow we are not worthy, and that horrendous teaching of original sin that as soon as the baby is born, the baby is somehow unclean. If we carry that with us, if for some reason we have a belief that we are somehow unlovable, it's not the truth. But if there's a belief, if there's a core belief in that, if there's a story about that that we said, okay, the pastor's talking to me, he must know what he's talking about, or my parents or grandparents are talking to me, they must know what they're talking about, we adopted that as a story early on, it affects how we will live our lives, because I'll do anything you want me to, I'll put myself at the bottom of the list because I'm not worthy enough to say, no, that's not my truth. It affects our relationship with Spirit. How is the universe going to do for us what we want it to if we don't believe we're worthy? If we don't believe we're deserving? That's huge. So how do we feel about our value? Do we recognize that we are truly gifted and chosen to be here to do what we came here to do? That the universe always says yes and loves us and never judges us? That's the truth of us. That is the truth of us. What do I say, think, believe, or feel about my body? You've heard me talk about this before, and I forget who it was that I was with, but they referred to, they forgot something, and they said, I must be having a senior moment. We must not allow the hysteria of Alzheimer's disease to determine our experience. My father is in mid to advanced stages of Alzheimer's. And it's difficult because, you know, and I've talked about this before, and you know as well as I do, if people in your life would just do what you tell them to, life would be so much easier. And I said from the earth, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. But what we know is the people in our lives do. They have to do this because that's the path they're on. But for us, I so encourage us to know that that is not our truth. The seniors, in my experience, with rare exception, that I would have senior moments like the seniors in my life, because they're just, y'all are just phenomenal. And the seniors in my life are out going and doing and having a wonderful time. But don't allow that collective consciousness and that fear to come in and be our truth. Do not allow the fear based on heredity to come in and be our truth. My father's health experiences have nothing to do with mine. We must not be, Course in Miracles says, past, present, and future are not continuous unless you force continuity on them. And heredity forces continuity onto the past. And it forces us to experience what our parents experienced, but we don't have to. My body, my experience is my experience. So how do we feel? How do we talk about? How do we think about our physical bodies? It's not the true, it's the expression of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. What do we think, feel, and believe about our children? Edwin Gaines says, it was our responsibility to get them here. And beyond that, they're on their own. You know, we teach them what we can teach them, we do what we can do, and then we allow them to go off and make their own decisions. And we love them and we support them, but we know that sometimes they're not going to make the right choice. But the truth is, they're always making the right choice because they're doing what they need to do to further themselves on the path. And what we can do with that is forgive them. I so would have preferred that you had an easy life and not put yourself through that heartache, but or that you lived a long and happy and healthy life. But the truth is, every time for everyone, each of them is on their own path. You know, Edwin Gaines says, God doesn't have any grandchildren. We have a one-on-one intimate experience and relationship with spirit. So do our kids. So do our grandkids. Sometimes that's difficult because you just want to grab them by the shirt collar and shake them and say, would you listen to what I'm telling you? But it's their experience. And we have to allow them to have that so that they can be on their path. My life means what I say it means related to my relationships. And especially our most intimate relationship with our dear one. And if you're in a relationship with someone and have been for many, many, many years, I honor and celebrate you because it's a wonderful thing. If you come from traditional teachings that you walked down the aisle and said, till death do us part, it breaks my heart to see couples who, you know, the wife would be just as happy if she could kill the man and bury him in the backyard. I don't believe for a moment that that is Spirit's wish, that we spend 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years being miserable because we said, till death do us part. Now, I do not moonlight as a divorce attorney. I want you to know that. I am not suggesting anything. All I'm suggesting is it's important for us to know in our heart of hearts what works for us and what doesn't, and when it doesn't, make the necessary adjustments. And if you were in a relationship that transitioned into something else, don't allow yourself to beat yourself up over it. Because we as human beings are growing and expanding and changing our outlook on life and our knowledge of things. And sometimes in our most intimate relationships, we grow and change together. And it's wonderful. And sometimes we grow and change apart and go separate. And that's okay too. The truth is, we need to recognize our value, that we are here to be the truth of who we are, which is the essence, experience, and expression of spirit, and we're here to be happy and joyful. And we need to be aware of that and make those choices to support that and not beat ourselves up when something changed. It failed. The English language, you know, we attach words to, we attach meaning to words. And the word failure is just, for many of us, is just, oh, if that experience failed, that if you weren't in the same job for 100 years, if you weren't in the same relationship for 100 years, if your life doesn't look like X, then you failed, which means you are a failure, which is so not the truth. The reason that it ended, the reason that it transitioned, is because it transitioned, period. We must not label ourselves or allow ourselves to judge ourselves based on what happened, because it's not the truth. My life means what I say it means regarding my financial status. The balance in the bank has nothing to do with our value or our worth, even though we call it net worth, or our success. The truth is, we are a success because we're sitting here. We are a success because we're the beloved of God, period. Our bank balance has nothing to do with it. A lot of people talking about, you know, real estate values in Southern California, you know, they're back down again. And many people are what they call upside down in their mortgages. So, you know, they owe more on the house than it's currently appraises for. But unless you're selling tomorrow, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? But yet we lose sleep over it. But the truth is, we know the real estate market goes down and comes back and goes down and comes back. So we must not allow ourselves to beat ourselves up over whatever it is. It's just the appearance. It's not the truth of who we are. My life means what I say it means surrounding my working life. I was watching the sitcom Frasier, you may remember, with Kelsey Grammer and various other people one morning this week. And it's amazing to me how the universe brings examples. And this episode, Roz, who was, you know, Frasier's technical person on his radio show, was dating this gentleman. Cute. I can say it. This was a cute guy she was dating, and he was a trash truck driver. And they went to social events, in America in 2011, you know, how are you, what's your name, what do you do? That's just the normal average, you know, that's part of the conversation. And Roz just was almost hysterical because somebody asked him what he did, and she just so did not want him to say that he was a trash truck driver. Well, do you remember in New York City when the trash truck drivers went on strike? This is a vital, imperative service that trash truck drivers provide to the world. And I believe they're all Teamsters, so most likely they do right well for themselves. So what difference does it make? But do we attach any kind of judgment? Oh, I wish that I could have been, or I really should have that degree, that additional degree, or that additional whatever, or I'll be a success as soon as I get one more promotion. Well, what I know from both people that live in my house, our past experience has taught us that you stay in the vocation, in the work that you love to do, because the additional promotion, even if it brings you more money, is not necessarily going to bring you happiness. And it sure isn't going to bring you joy. And you may remember that as well. So it has nothing to do with our value. What we do is not who we are. My fourth grade teacher, sometimes we get into jobs or work or professions because of someone else's story. You know, if our parents so wanted us to be a, and then we got into that. And that could be married. But also in this case, talking about, you know, my mother always wanted me to be a doctor, or my mother always wanted me to be a teacher, or whatever. My fourth grade teacher in the Lutheran school in Escondido, should not have been a teacher. She did it solely because her mother wanted her to. She had a terrible time with discipline, and so the boys in the back of the room, when they were talking or sleeping or whatever, to discipline, she would throw chalkboard erasers. She so should not have been a teacher. Should have been fairly obvious, and ultimately she finally said, you know, this so isn't working for me, and thank God for that, because the collective fourth grade population breathed a sigh of relief, because she so shouldn't have been a teacher. But how often do we stay in situations selling ourselves out and selling ourselves short because it's somebody else's story that we adopted, and well, I better do that. I should do that. Anytime your ego uses the word should, I invite you and I invite myself to look at that again, because should most of the time is not a joyful experience. Should is obligation, or I don't want to do this, but I guess I better, which so doesn't feel good. It's not, it has nothing to do with the truth of who we are. So I invite you to be aware of these areas, and take the sheet with you if you'd like, and just be aware of the choices that we're making. Cliff and Lori, and Cliff, is Cliff not with us this morning? Okay, that's okay. Anyway, we're doing at 11:30. We're doing the book study, the class based on Debbie Ford's book, The Right Questions. And the first question that we looked at was, does this choice, paraphrase, propel me in the direction that I want to go, or does it keep me stuck in the past? The truth is, our choices, if we don't know what we believe about ourselves, if we don't know what we believe about our value, we can look at our choices and see, yes, I've said I want to do X. Am I making the right choices to propel me down the road that will bring me to that goal that I am worthy of and I deserve? Or am I knocking myself out of the park, or that's not the, well, we'll go with that. Am I derailing what it is that I'm trying to experience by my choices? And it all goes back to, what do we believe about ourselves? That we are worthy of whatever it is. That we are in this moment, and nothing that's happened up till now has had anything to do with our worth and our value and our belovedness. I don't know if that's a word, but I used it, so it's a word now. Our belovedness is the sacredness of us, because we are one with spirit, period. Spirit is always in the moment. Spirit doesn't remember last week or last month or 20 years ago, or why that marriage didn't work, or what happened, or why we ate that or bought that or said that or whatever. Spirit is always in this moment, moving us forward, staying out of what keeps us stuck. There's a quote from Stephanie's book, Intimacy and Solitude, and she says, the experience of self brings a feeling of standing on solid ground inside oneself, on a patch of eternity which even physical death cannot touch. The experience of self, when it's quiet, when the TV is off, when the dog doesn't need to be walked, when we're just there by ourselves, are we comfortable? Or do we need, I better look at email, there's always something to do. And I have a friend who just can't be. When we allow ourselves to be, that's when we're just with ourselves. We've got to be comfortable with ourselves, because we're the ones we're stuck with for the duration. And you can keep yourself really busy, but every once in a while, we need time to just be with ourselves. and love ourselves and honor ourselves for everything up till now. Because everything up till now has brought us to where we are, and we can move forward from here. We honor all the experience that either came out just exactly the way we'd wanted them to. And we honor ourselves for those where there were bumps in the road, because every bump was an opportunity to learn something and to heal something. And we move forward from there in the recognition of our sacredness. Seeking the sacred, and this is from the book as well, seeking the sacred calls us to recovery. And what is recovery from moving away from adherence to constricting, life-denying ideas and toward a sense of personal worth and the freedom to choose one's own ways of seeing? I love that definition of recovery. We move away from adherence to constricting, life-denying ideas. We move away from beating ourselves up for whatever it was. We move away from saying we want one thing and then doing another, from judging ourselves, from limiting ourselves, from believing that what somebody else says is true when we just know in our heart of hearts that it's not, and into that recognition that there's no place to go to get the wisdom of the universe, because the wisdom of the universe is within us. And no one has a pipeline to God more than you do, more than I do. Sometimes we need a little help. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the truth of our oneness, and that's why your ministers and practitioners are here. But we're not telling you anything you don't already know. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. So I invite us, and I include myself, to be aware. And we're not going to have time to talk about those people, but I will remind you of the quote, and I love that quote that Dr. Ruth read: "Look through the eyes of the beloved, you will see the beloved everywhere." The truth is, everybody's working for the weekend. Remember that song? Everybody's working for the weekend. And if you look at think of the weekend as, the weekend is the experience of peace. It's a six-pack, if that's your thing. It's hanging out with the family and friends by the pool. It's going to the lake with the dog. It's comfort and peace and oneness. That's what everyone is working for. We know that a thought thought anywhere is thought everywhere. So as we do our spiritual mind treatment, our affirmative prayer, and know the truth for ourselves, we know that for everyone else too. And that's how we change the world. So I'd like to close with a quote from Power, Freedom, and Grace, Deepak Chopra's book. And this is just a little bit long, but bear with me. "If you really understood that who you are is the same field of intelligence that creates the body, the mind, and the entire cosmos, if you could know this intellectually and experientially, then why would you not have the power to manifest? Why would you not have the freedom of unbounded consciousness? How could you not live in grace? If you really understood who you are, then what part of pure consciousness would be unavailable to you? You would know your own self as the observer and the observed, the dancer and the dance, the desire and its fulfillment. You would know that you are a field of pure potentiality with the power of creation. There is an ancient saying from India, going back within myself, I create again and again. I create the mind, I create the body, I create perceptions, I create the universe, I create all those things that I call reality. Once you know that your body-mind is a field of pure consciousness, you no longer cling to the transient and unreal. You no longer recoil in fear of it either. You feel free as a leaf in the wind, as free as the wind itself, and there's nothing more valuable than the freedom of pure, unbounded consciousness. This freedom, this liberation, is enlightenment. So move with me into the light in this remembrance that we are one with this loving, nurturing presence, that we think with the mind of God, that we are the essence, experience, and expression of this loving, nurturing presence. That's all we are. That we create whatever it is in the moment, and that there truly is only this moment. So moving forward, we honor ourselves by looking to see what we believe about our sacred selves. Because the truth is, that's who we are. We are not our past. We are not our bank balance. We are not what other people would have us be unless that serves us. And we move forward with that and in that and as that pure potentiality to do, be, and have whatever it is, to release what needs to be released, to accept what needs to be accepted, moving forward in that unalterable joy. It is our experience now. We give thanks for it, and together we say, and so it is.